I was trying to come up with my own way to read it.
Nah, just take a little bit of time to read through it all. Like, basically, like, last time I just started with, like, a...
Oh, yeah. That was starting right there. Welcome back to the podcast where you watch movies. But who watches us, Brendan? Who watches us?
Yeah, who actually watches us?
Who actually watches us? I'm Alex.
I'm Brendan.
And today... we just finished watching Alien. It was a movie.
Yeah.
We're going to... Sure, it was made in 1979. So it's a pretty old movie.
Yep.
We aren't going to get into spoilers. So there's your warning. Do you know who this movie was directed by?
I don't know if Ridley Scott was...
Is it Ridley Scott?
It's either Ridley Scott, like, directed or he...
Yes, it was directed by Ridley Scott. And starring, of course, the wonderful Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder?
Oh, no. Sigourney Weaver. Sorry, they're like the same person in my mind for some reason. Is it because of Interstellar?
What?
Who's Winona Ryder? No,
I don't think either of those actresses are in Interstellar.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, starring Sigourney Weaver. It's got Tom Skerritt. He plays Dallas. You got Veronica Cartwright. She plays Lambert. John Hurt plays Kane.
Rest in peace.
Ian Holm plays Ash. Harry Dean Stanton plays Brett. We've got Balaji Badejo as the xenomorph.
Oh.
We've got Yaphet Kotto as Parker.
Yeah. And, you really listing them all right now.
Yeah. This is the same, you know. They got this.
That's true. There's only like...
There's like, yeah.
Six or seven characters in this movie. So, yeah. I guess it does make sense to call them all out.
Yeah. We'll be talking about each and every one of them. So, yeah. I want to hear, so usually I would go first, but this time you're going to go first. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the movie?
I love this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really like this movie. I feel like it's just the right amount of like suspense and horror and thriller for me. Mm. And, you know, also considering like, it came out in 1979.
Yes, that is a very good point to make.
Yeah,
it came out in 1979. Horror was very different back then.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely like set the tone for movies after this, like horror movies and thriller movies. Yeah, it was just a really cool idea. I think it was executed really well. I really enjoyed a lot of the set design.
Yeah, the art direction was great.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Yeah, really cool. I thought all the actors were really good. I especially love John Hurt. Rest in peace. Got a soft spot for that guy.
Rest in peace, John Hurt.
Yeah, I really liked it. I saw this movie for the first time when lockdown started, actually.
Oh, really?
It was like, I wanted to make a way to... this is kind of funny. Make a way of connecting with friends and staying in touch, so we'd watch a movie. We'd watch a movie like once a week or once a fortnight, I think it was. Once every second Saturday. And what I did is, I've mentioned my movie spreadsheet before, I'm pretty sure, in the previous episode. But I had like a script that like pulled from that spreadsheet. And just sorted like 10 movies, and then we would all vote on which movie we were going to watch. I think Alien was... It might have been like the first one to kick off like the movie party, like watch party thing that I was doing with a couple of friends. And I had like a rotating cast that sort of came in and out for that. So yeah, it's like got a little bit of a soft spot there. But yeah, I thought this, I really enjoyed this movie the first time I watched it, and this would be the second time. And I really watched it. I really enjoyed it this time around.
You really watched it
this time. I really watched this movie.
You're watching the movie.
That's maybe a lie.
But who was watching you?
Oh, God. The Xenomorph.
The Xenomorph.
Yeah.
Sneaky bugger.
Yep.
I also really liked this movie. I thought it was pretty interesting. I agree that it had some really good suspense, mm-hmm. and I liked all the design, especially the alien ship and this, the design of the Xenomorph. Even their ship was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was cool to see what people in 1979, probably a little bit before that, when they started designing the set, thought. You know, what? I mean, I guess they had they had spaceships back then, but what they thought it would be like in whatever year this was set, they didn't really say, did they?
They might have said. I think I saw like somewhere online it's like 2100s, 2200s, or something like that. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, and it's quite it's kind of like industrial the way their ship looks. Kind of reminds me of. Like Dead Space a little bit. I mean, Dead Space is probably inspired by this very heavily.
Yeah, I would say Dead Space is heavily inspired by Alien.
And was it H.R. Giger that did the design for this?
I'm not sure.
I think... Yeah. So I think H.R. Giger, he designed like the Alien and stuff. And he's got some really pretty cool work.
Mm-hmm.
Very... It's kind of like its own thing. It's very weird and abstract, I guess. Very non-human. But yeah, I think this is what he'd be best known for, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's pretty iconic. Like, there are a couple of really iconic scenes in this movie as well.
Mm. So, yeah, definitely like the movie. Did you have a favourite part?
Favourite part... I think I mentioned this in when we were talking through, but I really liked their plan of like slowly like going through the vents and going through section by section and then cutting off the vents like as Dallas was moving through, and he's got the like flamethrower to sort of keep him safe.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the plan was just like flush them out and then get them to the
like the airlock.
Get the Xenomorph to the airlock to get jettisoned or purged from the ship. I'd have to say all of the really cool sort of like suspense and mystery when Kane has the face hugger on him.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my favorite part of the movie.
That is really cool.
Movie. Yeah.
So going into this, I'd never seen it before,
mm-hmm.
but I guess just because it's quite old. It's like how old now? Like almost 40 something years old.
79. Yeah, coming up to 50. It's like 45.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously I've kind of seen most things about the movie without seeing the movie, so mm-hmm. I feel like maybe it took a little bit away from the suspense. I feel like if I didn't know, that kind of would have added another layer to it, but it was still really good without it, like even knowing what was coming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound like a little... I thought that obviously the scene where the little thing busts out of his chest, I thought that was probably my favourite part, to be honest. I like the way it ran away. It was really funny.
Yeah. It's such an iconic scene.
Yeah, well. I was going to say, I probably sound like a bit of a basic bitch saying that, but it was really, it's iconic for a reason.
Yeah. I actually saw that scene and it like traumatized me as a child, because like one time I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up at like 12 a.m. and I woke up to that scene happening.
Oh my God.
It absolutely fucked me up in that moment. I was like crying, running to mom, like,
I don't blame you. That would have fucked me up too.
Yeah, it was fucked. Yeah,
that was probably my favorite part. I liked the way he ran away. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I've got some other... I don't know. Like, it's hard to narrow it down to one favorite part. I thought everything was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But if anything, I think that probably stood out the most.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I tried to steer away from that one because I'm a bit of a hipster bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's
the best part is when it runs away. I knew you would love that.
Like, when I saw it running away on the table, and I was like, that was a little bit goofy. And then I keep going.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a least favorite part?
I did. I did. I got really, really frustrated with Parker and Lambert when they're just like standing there with the Xenomorph. He moved, like, it doesn't move that quick from what we've seen. Maybe it has its moments where it moves like a little bit quick.
Yeah.
But basically, like, they're just arguing.
Yeah, he's like telling her to move.
Yeah.
And she's like frozen.
Yeah. And like Parker's indecision in that moment, or both of their indecision in that moment, got them killed. Like, you know, he kind of just had to realize that he's going to have to take the shot and like do some flamethrower shit anyway, because if he doesn't, she's going to die.
Like, yeah.
Just fucking, I don't know. Yeah. If I was in that situation, I'd probably bitch out too, but...
Yeah.
It was just frustrating. Me too.
It's easier to say when, you know, it's not happening to you, but...
Yeah.
It does seem like he should just, you know... Especially his character, he seems like he doesn't really give a fuck a lot of the time. Or he kind of just cares about money. I mean, I don't think he's a bad dude, but, like... Yeah. I feel like he would look after himself before he looks after someone else.
Yeah, for sure. How about yourself? Did you have a least favorite part?
I mean, that's a pretty good one. But honestly, I don't know if I have a least favorite part. I think I have like a least favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the, just it being an older movie, some of the audio is like kind of weird. Does it like kind of cuts out?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know if that was what I was watching it on, but it was some parts it was really quiet, and then it would go back to normal.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely get that. Like, there's certain parts where you can tell they've gone back in post and done a bit of ADR because, the audio doesn't match up with what's actually happening on screen. And it's usually those, like, tense, like, throwaway scenes. Like, when Kane's, like, writhing on the table just before the chest burst bit, he has, like, a bunch of ADR in there that just does not match what his, like, his mouth is doing. And he's, like, he's, like, licking all over his lips and freaking out. And in the ADR, he's, like, ah, ooh,
oh, God. Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, I could see how that would be, like...
Kind of throws you out of...
takes you out of it. Breaks takes you out of it.
Yeah, just a little bit. And not only that, but some of the... I don't know if it's the mixing or whatever. Some parts, it's just really quiet. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I didn't have subtitles on, I wouldn't have been able to understand what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what you said, pretty good answer. I think that's what it is for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Should we talk about the plot a little bit?
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah.
So... We're, like, met with this big ship called the Nostromo. And actually I looked it up because I saw Nostro in Nostromo and I was like, oh, that sounds pretty Italian to me. Like, because Nostro means our. So I looked it up and turns out it is Italian and it translates to shipmate or... Or, like, if, let's say if it was, like, Nostro and Uomo, which is man, if it was, like, a contraction of those two words, it would mean, like, our man or something like that. But shipmate makes sense, I guess.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, this, the Nostromo is, like, a, I think it's, like, a a ship that, that goes out and mines, like a crew goes out, mines resources, and then
they call it like a towing, like a towing, kind of like a freighter, I guess.
Yep. So they've just been out, got a bunch of cargo, and they're on their way back, and everyone's in cryo sleep, and they start waking up a little bit early, because the system's like, oh, it's time to wake up, boys, and yeah, they wake up to realize that they're only halfway into their journey, and the reason they've been waking up early is because they got this like signal coming from a planet, and it's like, oh, well, protocol is like if you hear a signal from a planet, like you have to investigate it, otherwise you forfeit all of your like earnings from like that trip.
Oh yeah, so they decide to like they're gonna go check it out, right?
Yeah, so a couple of the people on the ship, I think it was Parker, he's like, nah, just leave out, I don't want to go down there. And then that's at when Ash is like, nah, you bloody have to, mate, because
yeah,
if you want money, you gotta bloody go down there.
And then Parker's all about his Benjamin, so he was like, alright.
Yeah. Some of the notes I've got here is set designs so good. Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah, because the actor that plays Ash is Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, that's why he looks so familiar.
And then I've got so windy, so cold.
So windy, so cold.
Yeah, so they go down to this planet because they're forced to investigate. And then when they're landing, they have like a little bit of a rough one, and they take on a little bit of damage. And they say it's going to take roughly around 25 hours to fix the issue. So while that's getting done, I think it's Dallas, Lambert, and Kane. They go out on a little bit of a expedition to just like investigate and see what's going on with the signal.
Yeah, they're going to go investigate the source of the transmission. This is where you find out that Lambert likes to gripe. She likes to gripe, guys. She's a griper.
Yeah, she complains a lot about how she can't see. But yeah, they keep referring to like the ship system as Mother, and they sort of use Ash, Bilbo, as like this vessel to like sort of communicate with Mother to figure out, you know, like what the plan is, what we need to do, so on. But Dallas is like the captain of like the actual crew. Yeah, so while that little expedition is happening, Ripley, Sigourney Weaver, has a bit of a chat with Ash. She's got some concerns around like the signal, about how rather than like a cry for help, it could have been like a warning or something like that. And this is when Ash starts giving off sus vibes. I've got a lot of sus notes for Ash.
He was acting pretty sus.
Yeah. But on the expedition, like they come up to this like huge like gun thing, and it's got there's like a being at the helm of this gun, but like they've been dead for a while to the point where they're fossilized. But one of the crew makes a comment. It's like, oh, yeah, something like exploded from inside his chest because like the bones are like bent outwards. And this is like, I think this is a really cool bit because like it foreshadows what happens to.
Yeah, some pretty Kane. Heavy foreshadowing there.
Yeah, but also builds like a bunch of mystery and suspense on the planet.
Yeah, so after that, they come across something else. It's like a big hole, or like a cave, they refer to it as. And so they're going down in the cave, and it's like this big fucking chamber. And it's really, really hot. It's very hot. And it's bloody full of eggs, big, wet, moist eggs. And there's a layer of mist covering the eggs. And then, not Ash, bloody, what's his name? Kane. Yeah. I've just got in my notes, Dingus slips.
Okay.
So he's investigating.
I've got Kane find egg.
Kane find egg. So yeah, Kane finds the eggs and he's investigating. He's a bit curious. He gives one a little tap. And he's looking at it and he sees some movement. And then as he's looking at it, it opens and then it attacks him.
Sure does.
Sure does. Yeah. So
I think there was a really cool little bit here with there was like a bunch of like moisture droplets on the egg.
Yeah, they were like going in reverse.
Yeah, they were like dripping upwards, which I thought was like a really cool little like way to just add a little bit more like unsettling feeling.
It makes it so alien.
Yeah,
makes it even more alien. Like that's not how things behave. It shouldn't be happening.
So yeah, Kane gets attacked by this little face hugger guy, and then I think you basically just cut back to the ship.
They're bringing him back to the ship.
Yeah, they cut back to the ship. They're arriving at the ship, and they're like, "Oh yeah, something's like attached itself to Kane." And then
they're doing the Eric Andre, let me in, let me in, and Ripley's going, no,
yeah,
nah,
yeah,
no, sir, you can't come in, not gonna happen. But then Ash just lets him in anyway.
Sus behavior.
Sus behavior once again. So yeah, we cut to Kane in the infirmary, and the thing is attached to his face. They're removing his suit, and he's just got this. Ate
through the helmet.
Yeah, ate through the helmet. It's just on his face, and they're like, they're trying to get it off, but it's not coming off. They're like, if we try and get it off, it might kill him. And then they're like, all right, let's take it off. They like one thing I noticed in this movie: no one likes each other. Except no. Parker and Brett. Yeah. They seem to get along good.
Yeah, they're homies.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they try to remove the face hugger by snipping off one of the little limbs. And this is where you have like the acid blood reveal. So like acid sort of like bursts off the face hugger and hits the floor, and then starts eating through the floor to the point where it's through multiple floors in the ship, and they're worried that it's like going to be so potent that it'll eat through like the entire hull.
So there's like they've like run to get underneath it.
Yeah,
and thankfully it stops. I don't know why it stopped, but it stopped.
Probably just like potency, right?
Yeah, just kind of ran out of juice.
Yeah, once it's reacted with materials, like it can't continue to do so.
Yeah, but then yeah, they just a little bit of back and forth between the characters, and then I didn't write that down because it's just a little bit of them talking to each other. Then you see Ripley; she's going to Ash. She wants to see what Ash has found, and she just kind of starts ripping into Ash about letting the face hugger in, because they're like, she didn't follow protocol. She's supposed to be in charge when Dallas isn't around, and he kind of went over her head by letting in the thing. So she's pretty upset. Ash doesn't really seem to care. He kind of tells her to piss off, let him do his job.
Yep.
And yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of a time jump after this, and there's a development with Kane. Yeah, so
what happens?
So the face hugger leaves Kane. We have like a little bit of a suspense moment where, you know, we've got a couple of people in the infirmary and they're looking for the face hugger, but they can't find it, and then it like falls from the ceiling onto Ripley. And then, like, they poke it, and it's, like, twitching and shit. And Ash wants to check it out. He's obsessed with it. So, takes over to the microscope and starts playing with it. And that's where you learn, like, he's pretty like obsessed with, like, with the face hugger and taking it home.
Yeah, he's, like, showing his tools and its folds and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see, like, the organism. Also, that model was pretty... It looked pretty good for, like...
Yeah, it did.
For, like, practical effects as well.
It looked like an actual, like, dissection.
Yeah, it looked like a real little creature. It kind of looks like a horseshoe crab almost. You see one of those? Pretty cool.
Yeah, so Ripley is pretty annoyed about this and confronts Dallas about it because he's supposed to be, like, the one in charge. And then Dallas is like, well, Ash is like, one of the mining company's, like, guys. So he actually has a lot of the final say when it comes to the ship. So you start to learn a little bit more about, like, the power dynamic, like, in the crew. And how Ash has kind of been calling the shots the whole time.
It's like, he's the science man. He does the science stuff.
Mm.
Just let him do his thing. And that's that.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell by this point, after everything that's happened, he's a little bit impatient. He's a little bit jumpy and he just wants to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've decided that they're not even going to wait. They've got enough to get off the ground, so they're not going to even wait to fix everything. They're just going to go. And luckily they make it. They're fine. They make it back to the ship. And
Yep, they leave the planet. Brett is smoking on the ship, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
He's
just having a bloody dart.
Yeah, but Lambert says it's going to take at least 10 months to get back home.
Yeah, that, after that little setback.
Yeah. And then we have another update on Kane.
Mm.
We go check him out, and it turns out the note I have here is Kane is chill.
Kane is chill.
Yeah, so, like, he's...
He was chill. He's pretty chill.
Yeah, he's come to... He's, like, pounding water. He's like, man, I'm fucking starving. I gotta eat some food before we go and cryo sleep for 10 months. So they have, like, a... They have, like, a big... sort of last meal before they jump back into cryo sleep.
Yeah, I've got my note here. It says final meal before hypersleep and cryostasis time.
Yeah, and I've got the note, Kane is no longer chill.
He is no longer chill.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your favourite scene a little bit?
Yeah, so they're all, you know, kind of after that, you know, all the excitement of, oh, the way kind of, let's be done with this. You know, it's done for now, I guess. They're just having a meal. They're laughing. They're having a couple giggles, sharing a couple bloody laughs and giggles. And then, uh-oh. Kane is not feeling very well. He starts coughing. He starts having a bit of a fit. And then he kind of starts spazzing out. And he's like, they're trying to help him, but he's struggling, resisting. They're trying to put a spoon in his mouth because they think he's choking to death. And then
after that's a cool bit that I missed. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after all that struggle, something, his chest just kind of spurts blood, and they all just kind of take a step back, and he's moaning in agony. And then another round of blood just. And you start to see some little thing poking out when you go, what the fuck is that? And then, again, it comes all the way out and goes... And then they're all just kind of standing there looking at it. Everything's silent. It's looking at them, kind of sizing them up. And then it runs off very goofily.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I forgot to say that Ash says don't kill it because Parker is about to fucking, you know, knock its block off.
Yep. Ash sus.
Yeah, Ash sus once again, and it runs off, and then they proceed to look for it.
Yep. So I've got iconic chest burst scene.
Mm.
Goofy alien run. Time to jettison Kane.
Yeah. Kane's dead, so they just fucking launch him into space.
Yep.
And then Ash is a fucking genius, so he designs a thingamajig extremely quickly. I was wondering about this, so we'll get into that a bit later. But yeah, you kind of go, whoa. That is also a sus again, because how the fuck did he make this thing so quick?
Yep.
And then, you know, Brett's showing him this, like, it's like a cattle prod, but it's, like, modified, kind of, and it's for zapping the Xeno.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they go off searching, Zapper in hand. The lights are going a bit buggy, so Parker's trying to fix them, and then they find out it's pretty close. They've got this device can sense it within 5 meters. It's got detects microaggressions in the air.
I don't think it's microaggressions.
So they're like, all right, they're zoning in on it, they're closing in. They open a locker where they think it is. It's the cat again. Oh, it we is. Didn't mention the cat. There was a
it's
cat.
It's Jonesy.
Yeah, so they zap the fucking cat. And they're like, well, you got to go get the cat now so that doesn't happen again. We don't want to just keep picking up on the cat and not find the thing. So they send Brett off to go find the cat because he's the one who fucking zapped it. So yeah, he's calling for the cat. He's going, here, Jonesy. Kitty. Jonesy from Fortnite. Are you there?
Yeah, my note here is Brett has gone off on his own, and this has sealed his doom.
As soon as you saw him walk off and walk into that big room with, like, the vehicles and stuff, you just go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Very loud, audible uh-oh moment.
Yeah. Goodbye, Brett.
Yeah. So he eventually finds the cat. He finds the cat with some what appears to be shed, like alien shed.
Yeah.
And the cat runs away again because it's spooked. So he's gone after the cat once again. And finally finds the cat. He's face to face with the cat. He's within inches and the cat starts hissing at something behind him. He turns around. The alien is no longer a goofy little creature. It's fucking huge. It's like massive. It's black. It's long. Yeah, so Brett is no more. His fate is sealed.
Yeah, my notes here were Brett has an impromptu shower because there's like it's like water dripping from the ceiling and he's just like bathes in it for a little bit.
I'm like, don't drink that. You don't know what that is. Why is there water running out of the ship? Where is that coming from?
It was a little bit weird. It might be like some sort of like vapor or coolant or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah. He's just drinking chemicals. He's lost his mind.
I forgot Brett is getting a lot of screen time right now. Xenomorph is now huge.
Yeah.
Brett dead.
Yeah.
But I did have, like, a little bit of a gripe with this bit of the movie. Why the fuck aren't they using any radio, like, headsets anymore? Like, they're looking around. Some guy's, like, wandered off on his own. Why aren't they using any, like, radio things to, like, communicate with each other and across the ship? Because, like, this is one of those moments where, like, oh, well, if you had a phone, it'd be so easy. But, like, lol, Lamau just found it.
Yeah.
Check this out. Take a photo of the skin. Send it through, right?
Yeah.
But this is supposed to be, like, future tech, right? And we've already established that they've got radio communications and that they detect
microaggressions in the air.
Yep. And also, like, they've been having, like, sessions where, like, you could see other people's, like, video feeds from, like, their helmets and stuff. So, like, video technology exists in this world as well. So, yeah, no radio comms was really annoying in this moment.
Especially when it wouldn't even be, like, really hooked up to the ship, would it? It could be all, like, kind of... Yeah, they haven't got Bluetooth. I don't know.
Yeah. Everyone seems pretty chilled that Brett dies. No, and
like
everyone's just like, "Yep, he's in the vents also now. Noticed, he's dead."
One thing I also noticed throughout most of the movie, everyone's really calm and like nonchalant,
except for Lambert.
Except Lambert.
Yeah, Lambert's freaking out the whole time.
Yeah, she's bugging.
Yeah.
She's just tweaking hard. But she could always you could always tell she was a tweaker because she likes to gripe.
That's so true.
Yeah.
But yeah, they come up with a plan to deal with the Xenomorph, which I mentioned before. I thought it was a really cool plan. Fight it with fire and try and sort of flush it out of the vents system, because that's what they find out when they see Brett is dead, that the Xenomorph is in the vents. And then, yeah, jettison the alien once they get it into the... what's it called?
The airlock?
Yeah, the airlock. So, yeah, Dallas goes into the vents to do that. The note I've got here is Dallas is DG. and Lambert didn't keep her cool.
Yeah, she was bugging once again. She starts tweaking.
Yeah.
She's telling Dallas, you need to get out of there. It's coming for you.
Sometimes I wonder how many of the technical difficulties that they had were brought on by Ash. Like, did Ash mess with Lambert's equipment? Because, like, she's got a couple of dots on her screen where she can, like, track the life signals or whatever in the vents. It's like, oh, okay, Dallas is here and the alien is over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if Ash was, like, fucking with that. And, like, I wondered this earlier in the movie as well. Like, when they land on the planet, it seemed like it was, like, a really chill landing. But for some reason, they had, like, a bunch of structural damage when they did land. So,
yeah,
I thought, well, how much was...
real close to the ground, everything just started to go wrong.
Yeah, so I was, but like, also, did Ash fuck with this?
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in just a minute. But, yeah, so... Lambert's freaking out because the thing, the Xenomorph, the alien, is making its way towards Dallas. And then Dallas just goes silent. Don't hear anything from him. He's MIA. The alien is just picking everyone off one by one. And yeah. I also have a gap in my notes here, so you can take over.
Okay. Yeah, in my notes I've got, like, Ash and Mother. Like, they... continuing to not be, like, helpful in this situation. Like, once things start to go a bit south, they magically stop having solutions to everything, unless it's, like, convenient for them. But yeah, they send off Parker to, like, refuel the flamethrower, because
Dallas was going nutty with it. Dallas is
dead at this point.
Yeah, he was pre-firing corners when looking for the alien, but he's dead now. So after that, Parker's gone to, refuel.
Yeah, refuel, try again. And Ripley goes to, like, the console that was previously, like, Dallas would go into this captain's console and, like, talk to the mother, right? And he had some difficulties earlier, like... it was saying, like, does not compute, and Ripley tries the same thing just to find out what the hell is going on. Like, what are we doing here? Why is this all happening? And the system's like, oh, you can only communicate with, like, the science officer or whatever it is.
Yeah, the permissions for that information is only for the science officer.
Yeah, so she does like a override, and then that's when the system reveals that the plan all along was to, like, go and retrieve this, like, organism from this planet at all costs.
All costs, yeah.
And that the crew is expendable. Like, they don't give a shit if people live or die. Like, it's only about getting this alien back.
Pretty much. And then Ash kind of appears, beside Ripley. And he's milky. I don't know why. He's got some milk beads dripping down his forehead.
Yeah, he's bloody tweaking at this point.
Yeah, he's getting real... He's real weird with it.
Yeah.
He's like, I can explain. And then Ripley gets real mad. She's like, you just better bugger off. So she kind of tosses him. Not really tosses him. She grabs him by the collar. She's pushing him around. She's starting to have a conniption. And, I think this is when Ash gets a bit milky.
Yeah, he was already starting to be a bit like that. But yeah, they have like a bit of a scuffle and confrontation. Yeah, and you start to learn that Ash is like has superhuman strength, like just easily overpowers Ripley.
Yeah, he's just tossing her around. Yeah, he tosses her into the masturbatorium / the goon cave.
Yeah, there's pornography all over the walls at this point.
Yeah, and then he like rolls up this cum-soaked fucking porn magazine and shoves it in her mouth. It's not actually, but he's just trying to kill her.
Yeah.
He's trying to suffocate her after, you know, beating the shit out of her. He probably could have done it another way instead of shoving a magazine in her mouth. But
and because he's so like strong, Ripley just isn't able to like fight him off, and even to the extent where like Parker shows up and sort of saves the day, but he also like struggles to stop Ash from trying to kill Ripley with a magazine. But Parker gives Ash a big whack with something, and we have like the Ash is an android reveal. Like his head becomes detached from his body.
My note here, because I didn't know what was happening, he was just kind of like throwing up white stuff. I said Ash is being controlled by the milk.
Okay.
and then Sam, not Sam, what's his name? Parker. He goes, bloody, he's a robot.
Yep.
That kind of clicked for me. It was like not being controlled by the milk.
Yeah, I've got my notes here. Ash android reveal. Ash is dead. Ash is back.
I've got Ash is dead. Ash is dead. Mark. He's a robot, so question mark.
Yeah.
And then I've got he's not dead. And so they kind of boot him up so they can ask him some questions, and he reveals to them that the alien cannot be killed.
Yeah.
It's the perfect organism, and he kind of
admires it
and, you know, likes it a lot because it doesn't care about morals or this or that. It's just adaptable and just survives. Just
try it. Yeah, just tries to does whatever is necessary to survive.
Yeah.
And he's like, sorry, not sorry, and then they kill him again.
Yeah. So they kind of devise a new plan, right? Yep. They're like, alright, well, we're just gonna blow up the fucking ship and escape in the shuttle.
Yep.
So they kind of split up. They give themselves 10 minutes to meet back at this shuttle. I think Parker and Lambert are going to go get like coolant and like kind of bring it all together so they can, I don't know why they need the coolant, but they needed it.
They might have been like, get that. Yeah, I wasn't clear on why they needed to get it. Like I might've been too busy writing notes, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, same.
it's either it was to like add to the explosion or to like make it happen faster. Like, remove the coolant or like I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Or maybe it was like extra oxygen or something for the crew like in the shuttle. Like I'm not sure. I'm sure it served some sort of purpose. It probably definitely
did say it, but I just didn't see.
Yeah. I was too busy writing Jonesy rescue mission. Ripley goes off to rescue Jonesy. The cat has a couple little jump scares in there, but manages to get Jonesy into like a little the cat box. And meanwhile, while all that's happening, Parker and Lambert are having my least favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, the thing has come for them because they were fucking making 10 like kilohertz. times to the power amount of noise.
Yeah, they were just very kind of noisy.
Attracting it. They were very, very noisy.
Yeah, Parker and Lambert are GG, is my note. Yeah. But then I thought this was a cool moment because I thought about how terrifying it would be for Ripley to just have to listen to that over the comms, because like at some point they play that audio as if it was like it's got like the radio effect like on top of it. And like the camera is on Ripley at the time.
Yeah, like, and you're kind of hearing this like feedback because the alien makes weird noises too.
Yeah,
I don't know. You always get this weird screeching kind of feedback.
But yeah, the last bit of the movie, it's all sort of like action, getaway type stuff. Like,
So she does go to check if they're dead, right? She goes
to check on them.
Yeah, and then I've got Ripley rips out of there after confirming.
Yeah.
And then my other note is fonk.
Because of the noise?
Yeah, the noise these little things make when she is setting the ship to self-destruct.
Yeah, so she sets it to detonate and goes to escape in the shuttle with Jonesy, but then notices the xenomorph is in there. So she's like, oh, fuck, I'm gonna go cancel the detonation then, like if it's in there, but she doesn't quite make it. So she has this moment where like time pressure's on and you're like, oh man, she's gonna come in clutch right at the last second, but then it doesn't happen and you realize, oh no, she's forced to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
Go into the shuttle.
That was a pretty cool moment. Hope
for the best. Yeah.
Where the pressure was already on, but it just got like 10 times worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So she escapes in the shuttle. I've got a note here that I don't understand anymore. I wrote Jonesy is MVP. I don't know why I wrote that.
I've got... So she ditches Jonesy when she like goes to run back, right? I don't know why the xenomorph never kills Jonesy. Now everyone loves Jonesy, so
it's just not interested.
Maybe
it's because the creature's only about surviving. Like if it doesn't see Jonesy as a threat, then there's no reason to kill it.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
that like makes sense. When they're on the shuttle together, spoiler. She escapes in the shuttle. Ripley escapes on the shuttle, and then there's a reveal that the xenomorph is also on the shuttle. But they're sort of just like coexisting for a little while. It's not actively trying to kill her. It's just trying to survive in that moment, which I sort of have like a little bit of a theory that like maybe it could sense the temperature change in the ship, and that's why it's like, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of here, it's fucking cool over here.
I think the reason you wrote Jonesy MVP, I've got, because she leaves Jonesy behind, right?
Yep.
So you think Jonesy dies, but she comes back for him, so I've got Jonesy obtained, he's chilling, and then gets fucking chucked down. Like, she reefs Jonesy around.
Yeah.
No, with just reckless abandon.
Yeah. Like she's holding, like, a suitcase and she's late for work or something.
She just does not give a fuck. I mean, fair enough. Like, but also, Jonesy, come on.
Yeah, so they're on the shuttle. She doesn't know at this point, but she puts Jonesy in, like, his own, like, little cryo chamber to go to sleep. She's getting undressed. She's getting ready to go to sleep. And then she's wearing, like, the smallest pair of underwear you've ever seen in your life.
They look like they belong to, like, a fucking, like, six-year-old.
Yeah.
They don't.
It really does. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Why is she wearing those? She discovers that the xenomorph is still on the shuttle, and then she like kind of freaks out, goes into the corner of the shuttle, and is like, "Oh, I'll dress in a fucking spacesuit and I'll purge the airlock to get rid of the xenomorph."
Yeah.
Yep. She traps herself in. She's singing a song at the same time. Bloody chucks the xenomorph out, but it grabs onto the like door frame or whatever because it's got like wicked grip strength, I guess.
Yeah,
must be hitting the fucking gym, going to the climbing gyms. So she's got like a little grappling hook that she shoots a xenomorph, but by nature, grappling hooks grab onto shit. The door, like she lets go of the gun because like it's like going outside the shuttle, but then like the door slams down on the gun, and then there's like a little bit of a goofy moment where the alien's like coming back, but it's like ragdoll.
Yeah, it's just kind of flopping around.
Yeah, and then it tries to climb back into the shuttle via the engine, and then she's like, fucking all systems go. Turns on the engine and just roasts this alien.
Yeah. Just fucking obliterates it.
Yeah, and that's... presumably. That's about it. That's the movie.
That's the movie. That was Alien 1979. Pretty good movie.
Pretty, pretty good.
Pretty, pretty good. What would you rate that movie out of 10, Brendan?
So I'm curious to see what I've previously rated this. Because I have a rating in my head now. But I want to see, because this is already in my spreadsheet, I want to see what I actually put down. God, I'm consistent. I would give this movie an 8.5. And apparently in 2020 or 2021, I gave it an 8.5.
Nice. That's pretty similar to what I was also thinking. I was thinking of giving it an 8, but an 8 kind of didn't almost feel like enough, but I feel like 9 felt like too much.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said, I forgot about 8.5s, honestly. 8.5 does sound like a pretty good rating, and I think I would have to agree. Obviously, it's not a perfect movie, but it is got some really, really cool elements to it, and I think what it tries to do, it does very well.
Yeah, for sure. And really just like sort of a groundbreaking... Just a groundbreaking movie. Like,
yeah, honestly. Really opened up the doors for a lot of movies to come, especially from when it was made.
To see this...
Very, very impressive, especially the practical effects. Really, really good.
To see this movie like when it came out in 1979 would just be unreal.
Unreal. Like, would have been fucking terrifying. Yeah. We're so spoiled now, but that would have been actually... I don't know. I really don't know. Probably wouldn't have been able to cope.
Yeah. So that's a... Between us, that's an average rating of 8.5. And on IMDb, it's a 8.5 out of 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, that's the... Those are the ratings. So, how would you recommend... Would you recommend this movie to... the listeners or listener
100%.
If you're out there, and what sort of, like, how would you recommend that they watch this movie, like in what sort of medium? Like we said, for the Meg, you probably want to be in a group with friends.
I feel like hard to say, so I've never seen this movie before, but I had a really good time just watching it with me and you. I feel like I probably would have enjoyed it by myself as well. If you're in the mood for something suspenseful, maybe something sci-fi-ish, something with some really, if you just want to see some really cool kind of out there art direction. It's kind of the key phrase I keep emphasizing, but there's a reason why the design is so iconic. It's really cool. I would definitely recommend this movie. I feel like it's just a classic. It's weird to call it a classic. It's definitely a classic.
Yeah.
A lot of people really enjoy this movie, kind of a cult classic. I don't know how well it did when it opened up at the box office.
It had to have done really well. Like,
let's have a look.
So many movies came out after.
Yeah, it made $104 million despite only costing $11 million to produce. So it was quite successful. Very successful. Critical and financial success. Upon its release. So yeah, that's very, very good for that movie. For any movie, really. So yeah, I definitely recommend this movie anytime, anywhere. You're feeling like something suspenseful, why not? Chuck it on, give it a watch.
Anytime? You wouldn't say that maybe watch it at night?
Or
try and build the suspense a little bit?
You could definitely do that. I feel like you should watch it maybe alone if you want that kind of effect. Alone at night. If you watch it with somebody at night, I don't feel like it's going to be that scary. It is quite old. I didn't find it very scary. But the suspense is done pretty well.
Yeah, I found the suspense just like more interesting than anything else.
Yeah. So maybe watch it alone at night. Hard to say. Hard to say. But I feel like movies are best enjoyed with a little bit of company sometimes. Obviously, watching movies by yourself is great too. So whatever you're feeling. I feel like this is a good movie, whatever you're going to do with it. So you'd recommend this movie?
Yeah, I definitely recommend this movie. I've recommended this movie to people before. I would say watch it at night. You can watch it with friends. Maybe it's like a... Yeah, maybe it's just like a Halloween movie or something. Like, maybe it's a nice sort of... if you look, like, if you don't want to watch something that's a little bit too goofy or a little bit too, like, modern horror or thriller.
Yeah, bit of a throwback, change of pace.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I've noticed when you were saying before about how they, you know, in this universe or in this world, they've got video footage, like stuff like that. It's cool to look back and see what they think we'd have way ahead. Like, obviously it'd be way better than what's in the movie, but it's cool to see that, I think. What they think that what 45 ish years ago they thought technology would be like. So the next movie, you got something picked out.
Okay, I have a movie, but I'd keep picking stupid movies.
There's nothing wrong with stupid movies.
Yeah, we just watched a good movie.
Yeah. You gotta keep it fresh, mix it up.
Next week, we are watching Morbius.
Oh, I've never seen it. It's me either.
Me either.
Apparently that line's not even in the movie. It's Morbin time. That was just a made up thing. I've seen clips from it. I'm not gonna get into it, but man, I'm excited for Morbius.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Alrighty, so that's what we're gonna be watching next week. Bloody stay tuned to stay morbed.
What?
It's morbid time, baby.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Who Watches Us? I've been Alex.
I'm Brendan.
And this is Who Watches Us.
Seamless. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Maybe my favorite part was when they fingered the alien, when Ash started fingering the alien.